T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the GTDG.com studios in downtown San Francisco, you're listening to 95.7 The Game.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on, bump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Brave new world, boys and girls, but it is still Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Or is it? Lo Neal out today and tomorrow. And instead, the one and only.
I'm Jim Cosmore.
Theodore Kaczynski lookalike. Jim Cosmore joining us here on 95.7 The Game.
Boom!
Joe,
Dibs, Anna, how you guys doing today? I'm ready to roll.
You look great. You got the tan and everything. What have you been doing?
I've been sitting by the pool. I've been doing some stretching, hitting the weights. You should see me. My bench is way up.
Man.
I know.
It's a good life. You
it's
are
like
living your best life over there.
It's a little like I'm 18 years old. I'm going through my midlife crisis now completely.
Did you buy a car?
Well, I did that a couple years ago. I did. I bought a Tesla.
A convertible. I was going to say you should get a convertible.
I used to have a convertible, but I bought a Tesla. Now I'm letting my hair grow and I'm growing a beard.
Are you like those other knuckleheads who just fall asleep while the Tesla is driving itself and someone has to drive by you while filming to air out the grievances?
That?
You ever
see
this on Twitter?
Yes.
It's like, hey, look at this guy. And it's like, I don't know,
I know
what's worse. At least that guy is in the Tesla and he's owning his life. You are driving your own car while filming him. You are not in a Tesla, sir.
No.
You should not be filming this other individual.
Oh, man.
Great day today. Matt Barnes, NBA champ, warrior icon. He's going to join us at 9:05. I was thinking today was a day we could get into some other stuff. That's what I was aiming for, you know, variety a little bit. And we are going to get into Nick Bosa, the Giants. I'll tell you what, a move went down this weekend that is great news for the San Francisco Giants. And it had nothing to do with California baseball. It had nothing to do, for the most part, with National League Baseball, but it is going to be a big move for the Giants in the very near future. That's coming up in a bit, but the big move that went down brings us right back to the NBA, Dibs. Anthony Davis is no longer a member of the New Orleans Pelicans. He was traded to the Los Angeles Lakers over the weekend in exchange for Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, the number 4 overall pick in this year's draft, which is Thursday. A 2021 draft pick that, if it's in the top 8 of the draft, okay, if it's in the top 8 in 2021, that Laker pick, that goes to the Pelicans. If not, it becomes an unprotected pick in 2022. In 2023, there is a pick swap, and in 2024, the Pelicans will be receiving a first-round pick that is unprotected that the Pelicans have the right to defer to 2025. So again, it's 3 players, 3 picks, and a pick swap. Wow, is really all I can say because I need to catch my breath. I forgot my headphones. I'm talking. I just say whatever you want.
No,
I'm not even going to set
you
up.
You've been
just start talking.
You almost ran me over at 5:50 as you were fleeing the kitchen as your coffee was brewing. So I know you're amped up today, which is good because you look at this trade and you think, wow, New Orleans got an absolute bounty, in my opinion. Lonzo Ball, we'll see what he becomes. He'll probably be a 10 to 12 year pro, a solid guy. Brandon Ingram, big question mark from a maturity standpoint, but if he gets his act together, he could be a monster, all-star level player. Josh Hart's a nice piece, but Jim, those picks they got, number 4 this year, 2 other first-rounders, all for a guy you weren't going to keep anyway. I like what New Orleans did here with this trade.
I'm not as excited as a lot of people are. Everyone points to these picks. When are they going to come? I know they're further down the road, but I think the Lakers are lining up for a good long run here. And that means those picks are just going to be deeper and deeper.
Depends what you mean by long run, because LeBron James is at the center of so much of this. He is getting older. So I don't know if you're looking at 5-year run with Anthony Davis and LeBron. I mean, LeBron's probably 2 to 3 more years.
Right.
That to me doesn't feel like a long run.
But then when LeBron's done at the age of 38, when he's got 3 years left on his current deal, then you have Anthony Davis as the face, and then you're going to add another piece, because I have a hard time believing the Lakers are going to, they're not going to have trouble finding guys to come there.
The odds have been adjusted. The Lakers are now your outright favorites to win the championship next year. They're 3-1. Milwaukee in second at 6-1. The Clippers in third at 7-1. The Rockets at 8-1, which a nice little story broke about them and their turmoil behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
That seems to be getting more and more dysfunctional by the day. Toronto at 10-1. Your Warriors at 12-1, along with Philadelphia at 12-1. Denver and Boston at 16-1. And the Pelicans move from 300-1 to 60-1. So if you're trying to put a winner and a loser on this, or you get the opportunity to go for the tie, that's today's Take Your Pick poll question, brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. Who won the Anthony Davis trade? Coz, is it the Lakers, the Pelicans, or both?
I go back to every trade that involves a superstar. The superstar wins. The Lakers won the trade, hands down. I don't know what those picks are going to turn into. I don't know how long it's going to take for New Orleans to become competitive. And I know they have Zion staring them in the face and whatever number four is currently, or they're saying that the Pelicans are shopping number four. Right now, if you have to have an instant reaction, the Lakers won this in a landslide.
Disagree, because you're talking about a one-year rental. Now, if you have a chance to ink Anthony Davis long-term, then swings things a little bit. You don't know that,
he's
Jim.
Staying.
Given that he's Rich buying, Paul is the renting. Agent, what would you put the percentage chances on that he doesn't end up re-signing after
probably
next year?
Probably 10%.
10%. But that still exists?
Yes, it does, especially once you play with LeBron James and you understand what it's like to be in that orbit. Additionally, you're Anthony Davis, and you're not exactly the most boisterous, outgoing guy. So you go to L.A., with the bright lights and the spotlight, maybe it's not his fit. He's used to toiling in anonymity in Kentucky and in New Orleans, not necessarily basketball hotbeds.
You want me to localize this?
Please, would you finally
what
localize
Joe
it?
What if Joe Lacob gets on the phone with one Rich Paul and says, you know, we're looking at our future. We know next season's going to be somewhat tough, but boy, in a year, we'd certainly have interest in certain guys that you might be handling. That 10% chance that you gave it, what if the Lakers or the Warriors dip their toe into the agency ink and say, you know what, just put the thought bubble out there. You know what, you could stay there, but you can stay in California where there's a real champion that's been brewing.
First right thought on that.
Yeah.
If it's since Davis was traded, that probably ends up meaning the Lakers could pay him more money down the road than anyone else could, right?
True that.
So you'd end up foregoing quite a bit of cash to go to a team like the Warriors, but it's certainly very interesting. We've seen this happen with James before. You bring guys in, they're hugging, they're kissing, they love life, and then they realize you are not the star. You will defer to him. Like, if you're Frank Vogel right now, the head coach, what's your likelihood you make it through the season? Because if things go south at any point, Vogel's out, Ty Lue's in. And they'll go ahead and they'll give Lue the deal he wanted. Like, if you're Lue right
although
now, you
Jason
have to be sitting there thinking, why did I not agree to take this deal? Well, because you're an NBA champion, you deserve 5 years. But he clearly wasn't happy with that. If you're Frank Vogel, you're excited, but you're also, it's got to be a lot of cautious optimism here.
You're under the gun if you're Frank Vogel. You have got to start winning. You don't come out of the gate 8-10 and say, it's going to take us a while to gel, right?
Nice. You know,
is that fair enough? Because he's got Jason Kidd with a knife in his hand, ready to stick him a little bit. And I think they hired one other former head coach as an assistant as well. So that's just my belief. Just my belief.
I would love to say, I'd like to pick a side, but I put both in there for the win or for the poll question because I really do think both teams ended up winning. I love what both teams did. For the Lakers, this is like being in the NFL and having a quarterback on a rookie deal who's a true franchise guy. Seattle with Russell Wilson, Kansas City right now with Patrick Mahomes. They are so cost effective that you absolutely have to push all your chips into the middle and sign everyone you possibly can in order to compete for that championship window. Because once the quarterback starts making 30 or more million a year, it's going to be very tough to round out the rest of your roster. You're seeing it with Kansas City. You're going to start seeing it with Dallas. Dallas screwed this up by not getting the Lawrence deal done a year earlier. So they're going to pay the crime for that. They're going to pay the punishment. So with LeBron still in his prime, if you're going to have him, there's really no other option for you than to do everything humanly possible to get the best possible roster. If you gave up too much, who cares? You got Anthony Davis. That pick and roll is going to be lethal. For the Pelicans, they are giving Zion Williamson what they never gave Anthony Davis, and that's a chance. That's a fighting chance. Look at this roster. Lonzo Ball throwing alley-oops to Zion Williamson with Brandon Ingram, with Josh Hart, with possibly this number four pick that's coming up. Or they're going to end up flipping that number four pick, and they're going to bring in another player. Oh, by the way, Drew Holiday is still there.
Right.
That's going to be a nice little team. Like, that's going to be a team where if you bring in Zion Williamson, he's going to have some teammates who can make some plays.
Without a doubt. And you look at teams like the Atlanta Hawks who have three first-round picks, and maybe they don't want to have that many young guys on their team this year. They might be a move-up candidate. And when you look at number four in this draft, Joe, and I know we're going to peel it back with our mock drafts throughout the week.
Oh, yeah.
Number four is really the most interesting pick to me because it looks like it's going to go Zion, Ja Morant, and then R.J. Barrett in most likely in that order. But then what happens at number four? Might a team who loves a player look to aggressively move up and take that from New Orleans?
There are some people who are saying right now New Orleans is already must-watch league pass. Like when you get the NBA league pass, you're going to always check and see what New Orleans is. Are they on tonight? Let me just check and see. Doesn't matter who they're playing. They could be playing Orlando. They could be playing Charlotte. You're going to just dip your toe into that one as well and see what they can do.
The team I always watch, though, is the Sacramento Kings.
Thank you.
Oh, boy.
Thank you.
You don't like that. You don't like Kings basketball.
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
You're right, though. Imagine being Lonzo Ball and being Brandon Ingram. So many people think they're going to be upset that they were traded away from L.A. And you know what? Lonzo's from there and his dad's spoken out, all this nonsense. But let's remember something. You're going to a zero-pressure environment now. You're not in the shadow of LeBron James, worried that you're stepping on eggshells. You're going to offend old King. You get to play in New Orleans now. Have a little fun. Have a good time. Do what the Kings do. Do what the Hawks do. Sprint up and down the court. Try to make big plays. No one's expecting 60 wins. So this should be a fun year for Pelican basketball. Now, what does it mean for the Warriors? That's what we slice up next. Joe, Jim Cosimore, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, so we're sorting through the fallout of the Anthony Davis to the Los Angeles Lakers trade. Just if you're a Warrior fan today and you're concerned, we got plenty of reason why there should be no concern whatsoever, one of which is right here. So this morning I'm thinking to myself, the Lakers have had a lot of turnover with these picks, these high picks, a lot of turnover. From 2010 through 2013, the Lakers did not have a first-round pick. They did not acquire a single pick via the first round. So from 2014 until 2018, I'm going to give you the Laker first-round picks, and then I'm going to tell you what happened to them. This organization has gone through some changes, different front offices, but think about having this many first-round picks and what you're coming away with. 2014, number 7 overall, Julius Randle. Didn't really like the way it was going, so they just kind of let him go last year. They renounced their rights to him. He signs a 2-year, $18 million deal with, wait for it, the Pelicans. Has a career year last year. 21 points, 8.7 rebounds, 3 assists, and 31 minutes a night. They just went ahead and renounced those rights. 2015, Larry Nance Jr. and D'Angelo Russell. Larry Nance Jr. was number 27 overall. He, along with, I believe, it was Jordan Clarkson, were sent to Cleveland for Isaiah Thomas, who is no longer on the Laker roster, Channing Frye, who is no longer on the Laker roster, and Cleveland's 2018 first-round pick, who turned out to be Moritz Wagner. That's who the Lakers took with that. So Larry Nance gone. Basically, it was Larry Nance for Moritz Wagner.
Old Mo Wagner.
He's still on the team. Now, D'Angelo Russell was the number 2 overall pick that year. Didn't work with the Lakers. I take it you want to blast them. Go ahead.
We'll keep it moving, though.
D'Angelo Russell's the number 2 overall pick. He and Timofey Mozgov were sent to Brooklyn in exchange for Brook Lopez, no longer with the team, playing with Milwaukee, and the rights to Kyle Kuzma. He's still with the Lakers. They weren't going to give him up in the Pelican trade, so that was a solid move. Brandon Ingram is the number 2 overall pick in 2016. He's gone. Tony Bradley was their number 1 pick in 2017. Actually, he was the second of 2 first-round picks. They took him, flipped him to Utah for Josh Hart, who's no longer with the team, and Thomas Bryant, who they went ahead and just let go to waivers. Washington picked him up this past year, 10.6 boards and assist in 21 minutes per game. They love him in Washington. Lonzo Ball was the number 2 overall that year. He's gone. And then Moritz Wagner this past year. Essentially, you took Julius Randle, Larry Nance, D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram, Tony Bradley, who also turned out to be Josh Hart and Thomas Bryant, and Lonzo Ball, and you got Kyle Kuzma and Anthony Davis, while also giving up a lot of other assets.
GM of the year.
But think about all the years you invested into this plan with no playoff results or no victories. I know it sounds convoluted, but man, the NBA Like, you talk about the NFL standing for not for long. The NBA, like, all these guys,
right.
Nothing.
Especially more and more now where you have these super players and these mega deals that are possibly hanging out there. And so you figure, what can we do assets-wise to try to move them and get these pieces back? Because, Jimmy, look at just what they did in the AD trade. Lonzo Ball, highly drafted, highly regarded, yet we're going to go ahead and move on from him. Josh Hart, 2 years in L.A., showing signs of being a good backup player, gone. Brandon Ingram, many thought just 12 months ago, this guy could be a real difference maker. He could be the next AD, gone. It's like Dwayne Kuiper should be narrating these trades because they come in and then it's just gone.
So
Giants took 2 of 3. Shot him out.
There you go. Let me just get this straight. We're talking about a team that tanked for a couple of years to get better draft picks because they were going to build through the draft. And the draft didn't come through for them. And we're praising New Orleans for getting these picks that we don't know what's going to happen with them. I'm telling you, man. I that's why I think the Lakers completely won the deal. And the Lakers are a mess, a hot mess. I don't know if Rob Pelinka made the right deal or the wrong deal. We had Bobby Marks on yesterday, and he was saying if they would have changed the date on this contract, on the trade, rather, that the Lakers would have had another $7 million to spend.
You're talking about July 30th.
Yes,
if they
exactly.
had waited until July 30th,
right.
Correct.
Yeah, if they would have just triggered it later. But they're not going to do that, and so they have $7 million less to spend. So while the Lakers got the best player in the deal, there still might be some questions as to who's running it and how they're running it.
Don't you like the idea for the Pelicans, though, that everyone on Earth knows Anthony Davis wants out, so your leverage has been compromised? Think of it like this. What did San Antonio get in exchange for Kawhi Leonard, who just won Finals MVP and a title with the Raptors? They gave up Kawhi and Danny Green. They got DeRozan and, I believe, another player.
Right.
Meanwhile, Anthony Davis just brought you back. Now, okay, you could say Anthony Davis is better than Kawhi, but by how much? How much better is Anthony Davis than Kawhi Leonard? I don't think it's that much.
Not a lot.
But I'm not sure I say it.
Okay,
exactly. One guy's got the championship blood, and there's questions about Anthony Davis in those grand moments we haven't seen.
Exactly.
So even if we say Davis is better, no one here is going to say by that much.
Right.
But yet the return on the investment for Davis seemed to be a whole much bigger haul, greater haul than what they ended up getting for Kawhi.
Yeah, and I think the only leverage point that New Orleans had was the idea of other suitors trying to come in. And the Lakers so single-mindedly wanted, had to have Anthony Davis. When you think about the past 12 months of Laker basketball, you had LeBron's first ever injury. You had your number one icon turning his back and going scorched earth on your organization. Jeannie Buss looking more and more like she isn't in control. Rob Pelinka maybe out over his skis. And then in one fell swoop, you right the ship. And all of a sudden now you've got Laker Nation, so to speak, excited again about their prospects.
What does it mean for the Warriors? How big of a concern is this for Warrior fans? You just came off a finals loss, but I think in a more debilitating fashion, Durant and Thompson are both out for next season. Hopefully they're back on max deals, but that's a lot of money on the bench.
We have to try and decipher what the Warriors are going to do. They're in a much more difficult situation than, say, and everyone uses San Antonio as the comp, with Pop saying, you know what, there was that time there was an injury with David Robinson. They decided to tank
broke
a year.
His foot.
Right, exactly. They decided to tank. They didn't compete. The Warriors don't have that luxury. Going into a brand new building, coming off the 5-year run they had, there's some who say, well, just tank the season, get everyone back a year from now. Get yourself
made a compelling case on that last week.
Okay.
Yeah, my latest, Jim, is Steph Curry decides he's going to go Michael Jordan instead of playing baseball for the Birmingham Barons. He's going to try to qualify for the web.com tour.
That's a good one.
Full-time golf. Draymond can go ahead and get like a hip contusion or a neuropathy in the thigh, or tendinopathy is what I believe Kawhi Leonard had for 75 games. So
apparently it leads to championships.
It sure does. So go ahead and bubble wrap Draymond. Let Steph golf for a year. We'll see you in 2021.
It's just so much tougher for the Warriors, though.
It's impossible with their situation, to your point.
And that's the thing. So I don't know. How does it affect the Warriors? Do you try and compete to a level of playoff? Can they be a playoff team with what we think their roster is right now?
Yeah.
You think they're a playoff team in the Western Conference?
If right now, just on the spot, if I'm forced to bet it, yeah. I think with Steph and Draymond and whatever else they'll have, I think they will have enough, of course. I think
had
they will have
in,
enough experience, metal, all that stuff to find a way to an 8 seed. I mean, again, you still have Steph Curry. It's a top 3 player. Now, I don't know if you can win championships with one superstar, because the league seems to be going in a different direction, but you can qualify for the playoffs.
See,
who is the 8 seed this year?
It was the Clippers at 48 wins. Joe, I was running through the West. The Warriors obviously won the West in the regular season with 57 wins. The 8 seed was at 48 wins. It wasn't like you could be some 38-win slouch. Shout out Sacramento, who was the 9 seed at 39. But you look at, you know,
they're going to be better.
If a team comes up into the playoffs next year, one of these teams has to bow out, and we can go through the top eight and the bottom, would that be, seven, and we can really start to see who's coming up and who's going down. But right now, if I had to bet it, I would bet no, the Warriors don't make the playoffs.
It's not going to be easy.
Well, Lowe's out, but the trolling remains.
No, I'm just being honest, Coach.
Really?
Just being honest.
I'd lean towards dibs on this one. If you made me bet today, I don't know if I could put my unit on the Warriors making
the
playoffs.
Hello, Randy Johnson.
Nobody wants your unit anywhere. Right?
That's my wife.
You get a lot of perverted stuff.
Every now and then.
Shut Some up. Junk? You get junk shots?
All right, Coach.
Not
what are you doing?
Forgot about that.
We got the best.
Shout out all the fathers out there.
The greatest hits are coming today from Coz. We got Cozy's greatest hits back there.
You know, it's summertime. The weather's turning, so I try to take a more optimistic approach this time of year. And I thought with this, the first takeaway with the Warriors was, you know what? Good for LA. You can deal with all the heat this year. You can deal with all the haters and the criticism and the scrutiny at every turn. You can deal with the unreasonable expectations. That's on you now, LeBron. You get to go ahead and assume that. And with that great responsibility, or with great power comes great responsibility, they're going to have to deliver a title. They're the favorites. The Warriors are like eighth in line for their title odds this year. Durant's hurt. Klay's hurt. When you really slice this, you think to yourself, this could be a nice season. It could be nice because we're going into it with tapered expectations. We understand we're not the favorites this year. We understand the team's injured. We understand it's all on LA. Maybe this year could just be about having some fun and not worrying about setting any sort of goals or benchmarks or any of that stuff. Maybe we just watch a little basketball this year.
Yeah, but it's going to be tough in that new building, all the hype. You know, you've got the banners and you're a championship team, and all of a sudden, what, you're going to go 38-44 and we're going to have a nice quaint time?
Privately financed. No one here had to spend any money towards that with their taxes.
You're right.
How upset can you really get at the Warriors this season when you didn't have to spend a single dollar to help finance that building?
I think they've set the tone that they're going to compete at all levels. Although the only thing that makes me think they could pull back next year is, remember when they had to lose 20 of 23 to keep their first round pick that turned into Harrison Barnes? It's the only time I can ever think of Joe Lacob allowing defeat. Right? He competes. He ain't in it to back up and then be better in 5 years. He wants to be good now. So I don't know where to turn when I think of the Warriors this coming year.
We'll keep it cooking. All that's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Now we got to figure out who's the next superstar in for LA, or is it going to be multiple players at a cheaper price? All that brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. We're reacting to the big news from over the weekend, the Anthony Davis trade to the Lakers. How does this impact the West, but specifically the Warriors? Joe Coz and Dibs will discuss and talk to former Warrior Matt Barnes today at 9:05. How will the trade affect free agency? Well, Golden State General Manager Bob Myers is busy at work. What's the latest with Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, DeMarcus Cousins, and Kevon Looney? The guys will give the latest, and we'll hear what Michael Thompson, Klay's dad, said about his future over the weekend. Now, this update is sponsored by Sutter's Palo Alto Medical Foundation. Connect with a doctor who inspires your best health with primary care and same-day care options, including video visits. The Sutter Network has care to fit your every need. More at sutterhealth.org/primary care. I'm Anna Kagadakis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Outstanding to have you with us today. It's Joe, Jim Cozumel, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Low off today and tomorrow, back later in the week. Matt Barnes will join us on the Dial Pad guest line at 9:05. All guests appear on the Dial Pad guest line. Dial Pad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video messages, and meetings across existing devices. Sorry, Toronto, this is how the world works. You win a title, and you had about 15 minutes with which you were a top story, and then get out of there. LeBron needs his shine, and his shine he shall receive. Anthony Davis to the Lakers in exchange for 3 picks, a pick swap, and 3 players: Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart. We're sorting through all of it today, trying to figure out what exactly it means for the NBA, what exactly it means for the Warriors. Question I haven't asked yet, do you think the Celtics made a mistake not willing to include Jason Tatum in the deal? That was apparently what hurt them on the back end.
Yes, I think they did, if on the surface. But then you look at the idea of Anthony Davis and whether or not he would want to re-sign in Boston, that to me is a much greater question than if he'll re-sign in Los Angeles. I think L.A. feels like it has a much more of a direct line and inside to keeping Anthony Davis long-term. So if you're Boston, you really can't give up one of your best players in a possible one-year rental scenario.
Although teams have gone with the one-year rental, and you start, it started with Paul George in Oklahoma City. We all knew he was going to sign with the Lakers. He was going there for 1 year, and then he was gone.
Convinced.
Boom. Kawhi goes to Toronto. It's a one-year rental. Wins a championship. We don't know what that's done to Kawhi Leonard's decision-making right now, because you don't know what the Clippers now have to go after other than Kawhi. You don't know what the you see what the Lakers are doing. Does he even want to go west, where he sees maybe the balance of power is going to be too tough to get through again? Maybe he stays in Toronto. The one-year rental has worked out so far for teams that have rolled the dice.
It can, but to me, when you're rolling the dice, you don't roll them with Jason Tatum. It's, you know, if you're going to take on Paul George, I don't believe Oklahoma City had to give up anything to bring in Paul George. And we already talked about DeMar DeRozan being a pretty small price relative to what you got back in Kawhi Leonard. So for me, the one-year rental is risky. I wouldn't give up one of my best players to do so.
All right, so who's next for the Lakers? Now they currently have a roster that's going to be headlined by LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Kyle Kuzma. They are going to wait to complete the Anthony Davis deal on July 6th. That's what they're going to do. They're going to wait until July 6th to officially consummate the deal. At that point, they will be able to create a scenario in which they can clear the $32.7 million needed to sign another max player. Three names are floating around right now. Number one, Kemba Walker. Mark Stein from the New York Times is saying this is the top target. Walker beat out Clay for the All-NBA team, which means he can re-sign in Charlotte for 5 years, $221 million. A lot of people think that's a huge mistake for Charlotte to do that. Granted, he's Charlotte's favorite son at the moment, but that's a lot of money for a guy who's probably not worth that much money. He can, however, go elsewhere, like the Lakers, for 4 years and $140 million. And without so much burden on him, he'll be getting a lot of open looks at the basket, because that's what the Lakers need right now. They need some outside shooting. So Kemba Walker's option number one. Option number two, believe it or not, is Kawhi Leonard. They're going to make a move for Kawhi. Wow. Not sure if he'd be interested, but it could be a team with LeBron, Kuzma, Anthony Davis, and Kawhi Leonard. Option number three is Kyrie Irving, but many feel that Irving has his sights set on Brooklyn and is not going to be reuniting with LeBron James. So of those options right there, Coz, do you think any of them play out for the Lakers?
I don't see Kawhi Leonard going to be part of a dog and pony show. I think he needs his own place.
Who's the dog and who's the pony in this analogy while we're here?
I would say that LeBron's the dog.
Okay.
And then the pony would be AD.
Nice.
Is that pretty good?
It works for me.
Okay.
And I put you on the spot there, Jim. And I hate to do that to
no,
guess.
No, that's okay.
House.
Well, you know, I can bring it, though. You
always.
Know? Exactly.
Fastball in the black.
I would say I'm not as in love with Kemba Walker as some people are. I'm looking at his numbers right here, and he can score, but he scored on a bad team. And he was able to do whatever he wanted with the basketball. No one questioned whether or not he was going to squeeze the trigger. I'm not sure I like any of those options for the Los Angeles Lakers. I'd almost rather they found themselves a bunch of Pascal Siakams to fill out the roster and let the two big dogs run up and down.
That's floating around out there, too. Instead of spending $32, $33 million on one guy, why not break that up to three guys at $10 million a year, or three guys, or two guys at $15, $16 million a year? Give yourself a little depth, because let's face it, Lakers going to be super excited. Hey, come see, in Dibs' strip club voice, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Kyle Kuzma. What happens if Anthony Davis rolls an ankle or LeBron gets hurt again? Like, just there goes your plan, right? This is the whole Phillies and Bryce Harper thing. Hey, Bryce, here's $300+ million. Hey, Manny Machado, here's $300+ million. That's a lot of money tied up in one singular asset. And if that guy gets hurt or decides he doesn't want to work real hard or goes through a slump, that's it. The money's gone.
Don't miss Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and your new look Lakers as they host Memphis tonight at Staples.
Off house arrest.
Exactly. He had shed the anklet and he's shedding defenders. KCP. Not PCP, but close. I think that when you look at those three names, I think, Joe, you're right about Kyrie. I don't think there's a reunion, and Brooklyn seems logical. I think Kawhi might reverse course, and if he doesn't go to the Clippers, he'll stay. And I'm kind of in the same mindset as Jim as far as Kemba Walker goes. I don't think that he's necessarily the right fit. You look at some of his early years in his career, shooting 42% from the floor, back-to-back years. He had two of the worst offensive years in the history of the association. He, alongside Kobe Bean Bryant, if you look at his last couple of years, offensively among the worst years in history.
If they end up signing a Kawhi, a Kyrie, a Kemba, and they use that max deal, the only thing they'll have left is the mid-level exception at $4.76 million per year. Some names out there that could fit that: Vince Carter, Jamal Crawford, Wes Matthews, old Jeff Green, the unkillable Jeff Green.
Wow.
And then Joakim Noah are some names to keep in mind as well. I'm still fascinated by this idea that you guys think if there's going to be a bet on whether or not the Warriors make the playoffs, you're both leaning to no. We've fallen that far already?
I think so.
They just lost game six last week.
Yeah.
Late last week.
They lost more than game six. They lost Kevin Durant and they lost Klay Thompson. And you can think and hope that Klay Thompson comes back next March, but I am of the mind that he'll sit the entire year. So you look at right now, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, and what? You're going to bring back Kevon Looney if you can. You can pay him outside of the mid-level. DeMarcus Cousins is gone, and then we get down to your Quinn Cooks and your Jacob Evanses. Warriors do have two picks this year, Jim, for the first time in, I believe, 5 or 6 years. So you'll get more young talent, but just looking at the Warriors' core versus all these other teams, I don't see them still being able to make the playoffs.
Even if they're able to say with, let's play the fantasy game. Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson both re-signed with the Warriors, but the Warriors say to the NBA, listen, they're not going to play for the full year, and that means until June 15th. Doesn't mean until April 10th. June 15th. They're done for the year. Then they get those injured player exceptions,
yep.
Exemptions. Is that correct?
That is.
One is, I don't know if both would be. Maybe they both would be $9.2 million. You might be able to add a couple of nice pieces at $9.2 million, but they can only be one-year deals.
And does that then also trigger the tax penalties as well, or do those... And I'm putting you on the spot again twice in one segment.
I think that, and I do think it does. That's
Jim, welcome to the show. We're going to hit you with a bunch of stuff you don't see coming.
Because if you are paying $9 million, then that becomes somewhere on the order of $27 million in tax penalties. So as much as we won't weep for the financial status.
It's not our money.
It's not, but it may be a little bit prohibitive at that point if you're not going to be a championship team anyway.
What if you're the Lakers and you go after DeMarcus Cousins? With what, like you have $30-some million to spend.
Would you want to use it on that?
But you wouldn't use it. You wouldn't, I mean,
Cousins and Anthony Davis for United?
Yes.
Pelicans West?
And it feels so good.
And remember, I know. But remember we said slice up that money that you have to spend. Maybe you offer him $10 million for a year.
This whole thing's making me sick.
Is it?
The more I think about it.
Because
I was looking
at
it over the weekend.
I'm
like, I like the aggression. I like what they're doing for Zion, more importantly. I don't want to see that kid get ruined. He's got such a bright future. He's got such a great attitude towards life.
What is he? I don't know what Zion Williamson is. What is
exciting.
He?
How about that?
He can't shoot the ball.
And entertaining.
He can't shoot the ball.
You want a mid-range jumper? Go watch John Stockton
highlights. He can't shoot the three. Everybody's 6'7 and 250 or 260 in the NBA. He's not going to get to the cup as easily. I just don't see him being
He's
a super tremendous star.
He's 19 years old, Jim. Can you allow the young man to maybe grow?
No, I've determined his entire career.
Can he get drafted first? He hasn't even been drafted yet, Coz.
I mean, Joe buried Markelle Fultz before he even had a chance.
Yeah, well, that turned out to be a pretty good take.
Yeah, your mean-spirited rhetoric might have ruined the poor kid.
That guy, man, he is soft like Charmin, as Kobe would say. From the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, Joe, do you follow OJ on Twitter?
Oh, boy.
We will get into this today because I'd spent about 3 to 4 minutes yesterday really thinking long and hard about whether or not I wanted to follow OJ. OJ joined Twitter. He has two videos up. They're incredible to watch. I'm not saying that in a positive or negative way. It's just an incredible scene to be watching these videos and listening to what he's saying. Ultimately, I did choose to follow him. Now, follows do not mean endorsements in my world, but I went through all the people I knew who were following him. I saw a lot of jabronis in there. And then I saw Adam Schefter from ESPN. And I was like, well, if it's good enough for Schefter, it's good enough for me. So I am currently following Orenthal James Simpson. I don't know if anyone else is, but...
About 10 of our coworkers are.
Yeah.
I just checked the list myself because I was having
Guru's
the same...
right up in there. He was the first one at the top of the list.
No questions there.
I was a little scared, I'll be honest.
See, exactly.
I was a little scared.
I can't do it.
Do it.
I won't even watch the whole video.
The guy caught a burglary charge. That's it.
Yeah,
and he paid his debt to society, right? What more do you want? We're all about trial by our peers. Well, the peers said not guilty. He's so take it up with them if you have a problem.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
This guy, though, he lives in, boy, does he live in an interesting headspace. Like, I'm not saying I'd ever want to crawl inside that head because I don't. I would end up in a bad spot myself. But woo, we will get into that later. We'll break down OJ. But there was a move that took place in Major League Baseball over the weekend. Totally flew underneath the radar. No one here probably even noticed it. But it is huge news in a very good way for the San Francisco Giants. We have that next. Joe, Jim Cosmore, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Shout out to San Francisco Giants taking 2 of 3 from the Brewers over the course of the weekend. Shout out Bet 162. Coz, I don't know where we were at the last time you were in here.
You were down.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, those days are just a distant memory. 2 of 3. Giants take 2 of 3. Bet 162 takes 2 of 3. We are now at an all-time high this season, plus $434. Next pick coming today at 9:50. Look good, play good, feel good. Not in that particular order. And if you're the Giants, you got to be feeling particularly feisty about something that took place over the weekend. A lot of you celebrating Father's Day, taking advantage of the weather. Good stuff. Shout out all the dads out there. But if you missed it, the Yankees decided they needed a little bit more power in their lineup. They called Seattle, who was red hot to start the season and then completely flushed the season down the toilet like usual. They traded for Edwin Encarnacion. So Encarnacion is headed to the Bronx to play for the Yanks in exchange for a minor league pitching prospect. I believe the name is Juan Tien or Then. Don't know. Wasn't going to look it up. Probably not going to ever have to really deal with him again with him playing in Seattle. But who knows? Cross that bridge when I get to it. The reality here is that there's about $15 million left on Edwin Encarnacion's deal this year, and the Yanks were willing to eat up more of that than any other team that was in the market. They're going to probably split the $15 million right down the middle. So Seattle gets a pitching prospect. They unload Encarnacion, who's going to leave after the year anyway. They unload $7.5 million. The Yanks pick up a new left fielder. This is important because it means Clint Frazier, a highly thought of prospect for the Yanks, has been sent down to the minor leagues, which now makes Clint Frazier a very interesting trade target for any team that may have starting frontline pitching to move before the trade deadline to the Yankees. As I scratch my head, Coz, who could that be?
Yeah, I know. You just have to wonder, with a team that has a bona fide playoff stallion available in Madison Bumgarner and another lefty arm in the pen in Will Smith who's available, you have to think that Farhan Zaidi is on the speed dial to Cashman in New York to try to get some conversation started. And if you can get involved, although I'm looking at some of the things on Frazier, his total games played, it's not even a full season of Major League Baseball yet.
They never had room for him before. Remember, he's only he turns 25 in September.
Okay.
He was a first-round pick 6 years ago. In 2013, he was a first-round pick. I believe it was number 5 overall to Cleveland. And he came out as a 19-year-old. So he's been bouncing around the minors. The Yanks have brought him up. He was the guy, infamously, a couple years ago who was linked to the story about wanting number 7. He wanted to wear Mickey Mantle's number, and they were like, yeah, no, we're not going to unretire that. And it turned out it was something that was completely blown out of proportion. But remember, this could be the left fielder of the future, right? There hasn't been a left fielder since Bonds. I'm not saying he's Bonds, but you need help in the outfield. You need a left fielder. Here's Clint Frazier getting sent down. Highly thought of prospect. The Yanks are going to be moving for starting pitching. Bumgarner is going to be made available. There's a lot here to get excited about.
Yes, so Frazier's got 11 home runs this year, which would lead the San Francisco Giants, obviously. So that's one thing to get.
The whole franchise combined?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if they've all combined to hit 11 home runs, although they did have a 3-homer game on Friday. Shout out to Big Bats coming to life here at AT&T or Oracle Park. They didn't have to move the fences in, and they still had 3 home runs. Steven Vogt, a couple of triples on Saturday. Quite a weekend. But as you look at building this thing going forward, and the big elephant in the room, of course, is what's going to happen with Madison Bumgarner and also Will Smith, the closer. The expectation is that he's going to get dealt as well. So this could be now target number one as we get closer to the one and only trade deadline this year.
You know, who brings the bigger return on investment, Bumgarner or Smith?
You know what? This Bumgarner is going to be an interesting test case. I've been looking at what Chris Sale brought back to the Chicago White Sox when they dealt him to the Boston Red Sox. They got a nice haul for him. They eventually got what they believe is going to be a top-of-the-rotation starter who actually blew out his arm, but he's going to come back after the Tommy John. They're completely convinced of that. And they got a position player who's going to...
That's who you're talking about,
Kopech,
right?
Kopech and Moncada are two guys who they're going to be in their lineup, they think, all the time. Right?
Sox got to 500 over the weekend.
Exactly.
Lost Sunday, but they Sox are playing some baseball.
And here's the other thing. When they dealt the left-hander Carlos Quintana to the Cubs, they came away with another top-of-the-rotation starter and a guy named Dylan Cease, who they're going to bring up at some point this year. And this young kid, Eloy Jimenez, evidently he's the best of all the Cub prospects that were there, including Baez. So those
A beautiful swing. He had a home run to center over the weekend. It looked like the purest pitching wedge you saw on the seventh over the weekend at Pebble Beach. It's a beautiful swing.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It's effortless.
But I don't know. And remember,
watch a lot of Sox baseball for some random
reason.
Yeah,
what happened
this year.
There?
I'm not even gambling. I've been watching a lot of Sox baseball.
Wow, that's good news on the South side. But you've got
only 13 back. I like the chances. They're surging in the Central.
More Sox talk later.
Totally.
You're home of the Sox. Listen,
you gotta be bleeping me.
But you can't. Chris Sale's a heck of a pitcher, but he was also cost control. Quintana was the same thing, cost control. Bumgarner's a rental. If you think you're going to get that type of haul, second guess yourself. I think you might. If you could get Frazier as part of a deal for Bumgarner, make the deal right now. Because Frazier at least seems to be someone who you can throw out there and say, he's got a shot to be our everyday pick the position for the next 5 years.
So at the very least.
Yeah, at the very least.
At the very least. Two reasons I love the idea of dealing with the Yanks. Number one, they will overpay. They will absolutely overpay because they're the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And maybe a little bit more so this year because they just watched the Red Sox win a title last season. So I love that. Number two, if Bumgarner is not pitching for the Giants, I would love to see him in October again. And if he's doing it for the pinstripes, I know it would sting a lot of people, but man, come on.
Yeah.
That's your horse. He's given you so much over the years. To see him in that setting, no matter who he's taking on, that would be, look, you could still root for the guy.
Yeah.
It's not like he's in control of any of this. The team didn't want to give him the deal, and they're going to end up moving on. So we want to root for him. I got no problems watching him play for the Yankees.
No, me either. And you're seeing him grunting and going snot rockets at Yankee Stadium in October.
Yes, they'd love that.
Maybe in an ALCS against the Red Sox and that kind of heated rivalry. If you're a Yankee fan, you would love to see that, and you would have high expectations. But I think Bumgarner's the kind of guy who would deliver, Jim.
Let me ask you this, though.
Ask me.
Is Madison Bumgarner the guy that we're watching now? The guy who, he looked like a petulant child when he gave up the home run ball to Max Muncy and immediately chased him down the first base line saying, you know, run. And then he got his face handed to him again when Muncy said, what, go chase it out of the ocean if you don't want me to look at
right.
it? Is Bumgarner worth it?
I think so.
If you're a major league team, is he worth it?
Without a doubt. And I don't think that you can.
Look at him now. He got beat up the other day.
He's never been a great regular season pitcher. He's never been a terrible regular season pitcher. And the numbers are down a bit. But come on. If you're in the postseason with this guy, I'll bank on what I've seen in the past. I know it was 5 years ago, but I think he still can conjure it up. Look at how he's pitched against the Dodgers this year. You referenced the Muncy home run. There was nothing else. Nothing else. The Dodgers have been lights out this year. He still gets up in the big spots for this team. He really does.
Yeah,
sorry
if he
doesn't pitch well against Cincinnati.
And I'm sorry if you don't like him glowering and shouting at a guy who maybe pimps his home run too long, but that's just his competitive nature. Who's more petulant, Jim? Bumgarner shouting at baseball hitters or Jordan Spieth yelling at his caddy for giving him a bad number when he hits the ball in the water? And that happened twice on Thursday.
The great thing about the crowd, did you see what they started doing after that then? The next day, every time Spieth was coming around, everyone was cheering for the caddy. What was the caddy's name?
Michael Greller.
You're doing a great job, Michael.
Is that
Keep
true?
It up, Michael.
Yeah.
You're doing a great
That's
job.
Hilarious.
So every time Spieth's getting a club and he's going back out, you got fans out there. Keep it up, Michael. You're doing a great job.
Good on you.
You had to listen to that all day. It was
good
great.
Good on you, fans.
As we talk petulant children, he was acting like a petulant child at Pebble. But Bumgarner, I think that's just where his competitiveness spills over. Like it or hate it, he doesn't shrink from the moment. He doesn't just go out there and serve up gopher balls like some Giants pitchers.
Next to my Joey Lightyear's jersey that I will be getting for Christmas this year, I might ask for a Get It Out of the Ocean t-shirt as well.
You can't be wearing that around here. What's wrong with you?
Might have to.
Why?
Best line of the year.
Was a good line. And it immediately did become a t-shirt. Kudos to whoever snapped into action on that one. Will Smith, he came up a couple times. He's now 18 for 18 on save chances this year. gave up a home run to Yelich on Saturday, but still was able to close the deal. Also, I think it was Friday night, the Cubs, all Cubs fans were sending messages to management saying, hey, did anyone see Will Smith just struck out Christian Yelich? So they had a real nice back and forth over the weekend as I continue my Chicago
baseball
takes.
Yeah, what is all of a sudden you're on the 3-1-2? Man, oh man. Good morning, everybody.
One earned run over his last 11 appearances. That goes back to last month, and that was the Yelich home run that we just talked about. He's clearly going to be going to the All-Star game. 29 years old, $4.2 million this year on the contract, unrestricted free agent next year. Who's going to return the bigger – who's going to lead to the bigger return on the trade, Bumgarner or Smith? Because Smith is going to be in extremely high demand for any team that's in contention.
I still think it's Bumgarner, though, because of the suitor that's going to be involved, and the Yankees, I think, have – the greatest need, or will have the greatest need when it comes time for the deadline. And so they'll give the biggest haul. Now, who will have more of an impact in a postseason run? I think it'll be Will Smith, but I think the haul will be bigger for Madison Bumgarner because the Yankees will be involved.
No, I'll stay with the greater impact will be the reliever because he'll have more appearances and more, high leverage circumstances. He will bring back
nicely
more.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
But still, if Bumgarner takes them, if Bumgarner takes them out and gives you a complete game shutout like we've seen in the past, if he pitches like Verlander, you don't think that if he could single-handedly go out there and win you two games?
Do you believe he can? Do you believe he can throw like Verlander?
Okay, I think those are two different questions. Do I think I can see him like we saw him 5 years ago? I don't necessarily want to compare him to Verlander because it's different styles, but I would say that I'd be more willing to side with the yes than the no because I haven't seen him in the playoffs ever not come through. I've seen him in the playoffs deliver. Now, it's 5 years ago, but if I'm going to project, that's bankable. Those two injuries he suffered, one was a stupid dirt bike injury, which I think he's passed, and two was the comebacker that broke a bone.
Right.
So there's no like tendon or ligament damage or anything like that. People talk about the velo maybe having dipped a bit on the fastball, but put him in big spots. That's what he's meant to be. He's not one of the – he's Robert Horry, but just stretched out in far more significant fashion over the long haul of a 9-inning game rather than a final buzzer-beating shot. You might not hear from him as much during the regular season, fine. But when the playoffs come around, he has always shown up. Like, that's the guy I want to invest in. Who are the other starters out there that you might be willing to take a shot on? Remember, Kershaw was always one of those guys could roll up the regular season numbers for you. Then you got to the playoffs and it got a little bit dicey. I'd bank on him. And if you're the Yanks, is he even going to be your number one? What's going on with Severino? Is he supposed to be back?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I've been so focused on the White Sox.
I know, evidently.
Focused on the Yankees.
Man, oh man. Breaking down their minor league system.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. But with a twist, Lo out today and tomorrow. Jim Cozumore in his stead as we get set to sort through everything that's taking place in the Bay Area and beyond. 2 hours from now, Matt Barnes will join us on the dial pad guest line. But for right now, a little bit of Bumgarner, a little bit of Will Smith. We can get back into Anthony Davis, which was the story of the weekend. For those of you who may have missed it, Anthony Davis is set to become a member of the Los Angeles Lakers, traded by New Orleans to L.A. in exchange for Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart. In addition, the Pelicans have the number 4 pick in Thursday's draft, which means they'll have number 1 and number 4. They get a 2021 pick if it's in the top 8. If not, it'll be an unprotected pick in 2022. In 2023, there's an unprotected pick swap. And then in 2024, a first-round pick from the Lakers that is unprotected that New Orleans can defer to 2025. Read between the numbers here on some of these trade considerations and the protections, 2021, 2023, 2024, the Pelicans aren't exactly banking on the Lakers doing all that well on this trade over the next 5+ years. All this stuff into the future, they've set themselves up where it kind of seems as if they have to project what's going to happen with LA, and they're saying this could work out in the short term, but in the long term, it's not going to be a big deal.
And that pick swap is an interesting one because you get a first-round pick this year, and then you get another first, and then there's a pick swap in between your second first-round pick and your third first-round pick coming back. So that's to your point that the Pelicans figure, hey, if we're comparable to the Lakers, then that pick swap won't matter. The Pelicans are really banking on the fact that they won't be terrible, because if you're a bottom five team and you get to that pick swap year, all of a sudden that part of the trade swings the Lakers' way.
Just got some insight that Ramona Shelburne from ESPN, who has been all over this story from the beginning, she's going to join us in about 42 minutes at 7:45. So Ramona Shelburne on the latest from L.A. Are they going to make the play for Kawhi? Are they going to make the play for Kemba Walker? She will join us at 7:45. If you have to bet right now, Lakers versus the field for next year's championship, what are you taking?
I'm going the field. I'm going the field. Even though, LeBron swims in dysfunction, and I think the Lakers still have layers of dysfunction, but that makes him better. It's almost like he needs to have some swirling problem. And you were saying earlier, go ahead, Lakers. You get all the attention. You get all the expectation.
I love it.
I think he kind of swims in that kind of crap. And as dynamic as they can be, I don't know what the rest of the roster is going to be. And I still like, I'll take the other 29 teams, Joe. I'll take the other 29 teams.
Means you get Orlando.
It means I get Orlando. It means I get Golden State. It means I get...
You get Dallas. You get the Knicks.
The Knicks.
Boy, the Knicks offseason that was supposed to be so... That thing fell apart before the offseason even started. Oh. Like, the Lakers were like, we're at least going to get back into contention here. What are the Knicks going to do? They're going to come away with nothing.
How many teams...
DeRozan.
Knicks lose game five is my favorite headline from after KD got hurt. The New York Post, I believe, had
that is an outstanding headline. But how many teams saw their offseasons fall apart? The Clippers, I think, are another one. At the end of game six, their entire offseason got blown apart, right?
Do you think the Clippers were rooting?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.